Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. What is going on, guys? This is Sean from the Lineup Logic Podcast. Hey, listen, before we get into today's breakdown Friday slate, I wanted to talk to you about our analytics partner and what premium membership with Lineup Logic looks like. So $15 gets you access to a whole suite of tools that I think is one of the best values in the industry. First of all, you're going to get our expert survey cheat sheet that includes me, Josh, our picks at each position. It's a player pool. It's useful. We color code it. We talk about pivot plays. We talk about cash game core plays. We talk about guys, floor, ceiling, value, all different. It's just a really, really quick reference sheet. If you haven't had time to do research all day, it's a really great reference sheet. That's the core piece. We get the Slack chat where as soon as lock is about to hit, guys are talking through lineups, ideas, who are you going to pivot to? Do you think this guy's worth it? Oh, he just got ruled out. All that good conversation happens. And of course, the best part, one of the best parts, is you get these exclusive tools from NBA for NBA DFS from Fantasy 5x5. You get a whole suite of defense versus position tools, DVP deep dive, differentials for each position, plus or minus how many points the team gives up on average, big game, monster game, DVP. You get in the injury board, injury boost, so on-off, indicating how much a player has more success with a guy off the floor. You get back-to-back tools, usage boosts. All of this kind of stuff is just unbelievable, invaluable, all in one dashboard. $15 a month, you get it all. So get over there to patreon.com/lineuplogic, sign up for the $15 package, get the most useful NBA DFS tools that there is, and build your own lineups, right? What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in, Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a day off tomorrow. Kind of a blessing in disguise. Kids are home from school. not going to lie. But I want to get in this early podcast for those of you who maybe are working tomorrow. You can listen to it on your way into work. For those of you who've got some time off in the morning to kill, want to build some lineups for the early slate. Now, on FanDuel, they have done us the wonderful, oh-so-pleasant courtesy of dividing this into two slates, a five-game and a four-game. I started to create a breakdown that had the full nine-game slate on it, I'm presuming that there would be an all-day. Nope, no all-day. They're too concerned with what they like to call FanDuel Labs. Really cute. So I believe on DK there is an all-day slate tomorrow, so you're going to unfortunately have to just kind of mix and match the information here because it's just kind of a complicated breakdown to do two separate breakdowns there. Don't know what to tell you. Actually, no. Okay, so there isn't an all-day on DK. There isn't. Okay, great. Well, that's good. So we're going to do two separates. We're going to go early, and then I'll throw out a main slate as well for you guys. Try to keep them both to about 30, 40 minutes so that you can listen to both of them at separate points during the day, get all the information you need depending on which slate you are playing. Of course, we're going to go through Vegas real quick, talk through what we're seeing from the sports books, lines, all that kind of thing. We'll talk about injuries, and then we'll get into a quick player breakdown for the early slate. Five games that we have from 1 o'clock on, which should be nice actually to watch a little basketball in the afternoon. Always a treat. So let's go ahead and jump straight in and take a look at what Vegas has to say about the early slate. All right, first game of the day is in Charlotte, or excuse me, it's in Detroit, featuring Charlotte. Charlotte and Detroit, 205 total here. Detroit favored by 3. Poor Charlotte, man. This team is just playing bad. They're just playing badly. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it. They're just playing really, really poorly right now. Can't really scrape together a win. On the Charlotte side of things, you know, no serious injuries for them. Cody Zeller has been out, but no real surprises there. Rotation really hasn't changed. The only guy that you're really ever particularly interested in is Kemba Walker, who has been, you know, hot and cold here of late in the last 5 games. But the rotation, for the most part, still the same, what we expect it to be. We have seen a little bit of a bump in minutes for guys like Marvin Williams and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the starting unit, about closer to 28 minutes, which does make them a little bit more interesting from a value perspective. So I think you could go there if you needed a value player to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Marvin Williams, especially considering on the Detroit side of the ball, you are looking at a few injuries. Stanley Johnson is going to be questionable going into this one. Now, he had kind of lost his job to lost his job anyhow to a bevy of guys, Reggie Bullock and Luke Kennard getting minutes there anyway, because he just really did not offer any offense whatsoever. So this game, not very interesting to me. Don't have a lot of interest in it, to be honest with you. I think I'm going to be staying away from it. Low total, not a very interesting game. Two teams that are defensively minded, just no thanks. I will, however, look at this Toronto-Philadelphia game. No spread in this one. Kyle Lowry is questionable, and that is why you're not seeing a spread here set out. Of course, we know that if Kyle Lowry is out, of course, DeLon Wright has been starting, but backing him up has been Fred VanVleet. Wright getting about 30 minutes in a couple games, but then bumped on down to 25, 18, and 23 minutes, while VanVleet took a few more minutes than that, about 24 and 21 in the Cleveland and Golden State games there. So, you know, both guys are viable based on their pricing, but I think that VanVleet is probably the more interesting in this situation. He's just been a little bit more consistent. Dwayne Casey seems to trust him a little bit more, and he doesn't have to compete with DeMar DeRozan for touches in this one. On the Philadelphia side of things, you know, we haven't seen them on a main slate because they were traveling for that London game, and then they just weren't on a main slate for a while. So I feel like I haven't really seen or thought I had to think about Philadelphia in a while. But their rotation, exactly kind of what you would expect. Ben Simmons about 30 minutes, JJ about 30 minutes. You know, the backup spot behind those two is interesting because it was Jared Bayless, but the majority of the minutes now are going to TJ McConnell, about 25 to 30 minutes on a nightly basis. Robert Covington has been an absolute disaster offensively. We can't roster him until we see him start to shoot better. Don't have any interest in him. And I am interested in Joel Embiid in this situation. I feel like Toronto's front court, while they do have some athletic pieces, I'm not necessarily scared of him versus Jonas Valanciunas. So we'll see. Do yourself a favor. Do not watch any of the Markelle Fultz shooting videos that are circulating on Twitter. You will feel sad, and it will make you upset and nervous that this guy will never get into the league. Milwaukee at Washington. This should be actually a really fun game. This is a game that I'm definitely interested in. 214 total in this one. Washington favored by 5. You know, basically, you've got two semi-contenders in the East here facing off. So this is a key game just to kind of, you know, for pecking order, bragging rights, that kind of thing. No serious injuries in this one. Marcin Gortat has been, I think, a value that we're going to want to consider. The minutes are back up, 27 to 32 minutes. He's been scoring over 20 minutes in the last 5 games. I think he's someone that I'm very interested in. The way that he's been playing certainly demands our attention. John Wall's minutes are way up. Bradley Beal's minutes are way up. So all of those guys are in play. We should expect them to play big minutes. Kelly Oubre and Markieff Morris, also very interesting to me because they're getting about a fantasy point per minute. Otto Porter, not so much. So a lot of interest in the Washington starters. We'll talk about a few in this situation. And on the Milwaukee side, I don't know what to say about Giannis. Like, his role has reduced, I guess. I'm not sure. You know, a tough matchup with Golden State, but it's inexplicable that he can only score 36 points against Orlando. Malcolm Brogdon is outscoring him and playing more minutes than him. I don't know if he's not healthy or whatever the case may be. The interesting thing to consider is Malcolm Brogdon, like I mentioned this last time out, the minutes are just massive right now. He's flirting with 40 minutes in the last three games. It's getting to a point where you wonder if Kidd just doesn't feel comfortable taking him off the floor, so he's playing with multiple units to give them a couple different looks because he can play the one and the two, play reliable defense. Very interesting to consider him in this situation against Washington. Washington, we know, a decent defensive team, but, you know, not particularly good. They're probably going to play to the level of their opponent. They allow plenty of scoring. They're ninth in overall defensive efficiency and do run a decent pace, moderate pace, you know, kind of middle of the road. They're 12th in the league in pace of per 99 possessions per game, over 99 possessions per game. So this is going to be a fun game to concentrate on. Definitely game stack viable because it should be one of the higher scoring affairs on the early slate. San Antonio and Atlanta, 206 total here. San Antonio favored by seven on the road. Kawhi came back, destroyed, absolutely dominated, had 46 fantasy points, and only took, I think it was, I'm looking at this, took 8 shots. So he had 46 fantasy points on only 8 attempts. Like, are you kidding me? He had 11 free throw attempts. He had 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how talented this man is. But of course, in the last 5 games, no reason to doubt him. He's had 33% usage. He's averaged 20 points per game. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2.5 steals, a block, okay? And that's only in 28 minutes of action. He's averaged 40 points. So definitely interested in taking a look at Kawhi in this situation. Atlanta just cannot guard the 3. Kawhi is in an excellent position. Of course, LaMarcus Aldridge also in an excellent position against them because they have had front court issues. Nothing on Atlanta is interesting to me. Don't care. Keep your eye on the injury report. This is a game that San Antonio should be able to easily win. Popovich may take give some of these guys a day of rest just to kind of take it easy on guys like a Danny Green or something like that who are still kind of nursing injuries. Like I said, not interested in the Atlanta side of things. So let's go over to New York and Brooklyn. This one only has a spread in one of the books here. 208 total here. Brooklyn favored by 1.5. New York coming off the back-to-back. They just played an overtime game against New Orleans. Massively high-scoring game. Interesting to see their defense kind of trending in the wrong direction. I got to be honest with you. Not really doing the rebound, slow pace kind of thing that they were doing earlier in the year. They're really kind of trending back towards where they were last year. Not playing very good defense in the Garden. The Nets have been fine, though. I mean, they've been okay. Damari Carroll returned to the lineup and played really, really well against Washington the other night. So he is going to be in play. Someone to keep our eye on. I think one thing you want to watch One thing you want to watch on the New York side is Tim Hardaway Jr. He tweaked his leg. He seemed to have some discomfort at the end of the game. So I would not be surprised if you see him rested tomorrow and Michael Beasley to get back into that lineup. And I will take all the Michael Beasley that you can give me against Brooklyn in a full YOLO moment for Michael Beasley. $5,900 on FanDuel. Hell yeah. As I mentioned on the Brooklyn side of things, Spencer Dinwiddie is easily one of the most difficult players to pin down right now. Some games he's phenomenal, some games he's absolutely terrible. And so we'll have to consider him against this Knicks team that does struggle in the backcourt. I'm not that interested in guys like Caris LeVert, even though he just had the big game. I just don't trust him right now. I think I could get interested into some Damari Carroll, maybe some Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, potentially. They have been getting the minutes, so there's a path to value there against a Knicks team coming off the back-to-back. Miami at Chicago. This game is a 3:30 game, 207 total here. Chicago favored by one. That's something else, man. That is something else. I did not think I would see that line. I don't know if the books are just trying to, you know, capitalize on bettors who really like this young Bulls team, but Miami should be the favored team, especially after they just won, you know, beat Toronto. I mean, you know, and then they beat Milwaukee. Like, what? I'm not really sure why the books have it this way, but they do. So there it is. There it is. I am not interested in really much of anything against on the Bulls side of the ball. Miami's defense is slow, steady, stifling, especially against backcourt players. So you kind of take away the interest in Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine re-entering the lineup really hurts Denzel Valentine's value, hurts David Nwaba. There's not as much usage there. Will he play? I'm not sure. Yes, he's going to play 20 minutes. And he's going to probably take away shots from Lauri Markkanen. You know, there's just a lot to kind of let shake out. And against a good defense here, Miami, I'm not that interested. Now, on the Miami side, I'm very interested because the Chicago defense is still not good, which is, again, why I'm scratching my head at this line. They're 23rd in the league, tied with New Orleans. So think of them like New Orleans defense. They allow plenty of production in the backcourt. And with Deion Waiters out for the season, going to get that elbow surgery, the ankle surgery he put off during the offseason, you are going to continue to see massive minutes for Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and Wayne Ellington. So those are the guys who really have absorbed a lot of the role there. And Derek Jones Jr. too, but 20 minutes for me, not as interested in him as I can get 30-plus minutes from those other three guys. And I think I'm attacking the two-guard here. So Tyler Johnson, very interesting to me. Wayne Ellington, very interesting to me. And that's it. Keep your eye on the James Johnson news. He did not play and has not played for a little while. We'll see. I'm hopeful. Well, okay, so now I'm seeing news. I'm seeing two different things. I'm seeing that he did not play in any. He just jumped back into the lineup against the Bucks today. Okay, so today was his first day back. So that's interesting. We'll see. Maybe you see one of these guys rested as well. So keep your eye on the Miami lineup. I'm interested in those guys. They're providing a lot of value. Golden State. Oh, no, sorry. Excuse me. I jumped ahead. That's when things get good, is on the main slate. The Lakers versus the Grizzlies in Memphis. Two bad teams in what should be kind of a sloppy game, not going to lie. DFS purposes, there's definitely some things to consider here. So let's start with the home team, Memphis. Of course, Tyreke Evans has been very, very consistent in his minutes and usage. Now, he struggled against Denver. In Denver, just shot poorly, really, and did not get it up enough shots, frankly, 13 when he's been taking about 18 plus 20 points plus. He just didn't get that going in that Denver game. So definitely someone that I would consider against this Lakers team. I think he is a great play. Lakers definitely struggling with the backcourt. Now, of course, you could also look at Marc Gasol. They have struggled with frontcourt players as well. And Marc Gasol's put together a nice little run here. He's had over 40 in the last three games, and I think you could see him have a nice little game here in this situation. The one other guy that I want you to keep an eye on is Andrew Harrison. In his return here, he has picked up close to 30 minutes in back-to-back contests. Now, not taking a ton of shots, but being very productive in the rebounds and assists category seems to be playing the most productive point guard minutes that they have had. So Andrew Harrison is another name that you may want to pencil in as a possible value point guard. Moving on to the Lakers here, and the big deal is this Brandon Ingram and Lonzo in injuries. So Ingram with the ankle and Lonzo with the knee. Now, if they don't play, the usage has to be absorbed, of course, by guys like Josh Hart, KCP, and Jordan Clarkson. Now, Jordan Clarkson would be one of the most interesting immediately if Lonzo does not play. And Julius Randle, frankly, although you can't really do a lot of scoring against the Memphis front court. But Kyle Kuzma would be another guy that I would be interested in. He had a little bit of a minutes bump in the Dallas game based on what he, but instead, you know, over what he was previously doing. He shot out of his mind again, which he's never going to do. But with a little bit more usage, maybe 2, 3, 4 more attempts, I think you could get interested in Kyle Kuzma, especially considering Larry Nance may be sitting this one out with an eye. He had an eye issue. I don't know if he got poked or what the deal is, but he is questionable for Monday. So Lakers injury report is going to be tough to decipher, but I think that there's a lot of different names on that list that you could go with. All right, so that is it. 5 games on the early slate, like I mentioned there. So let's go ahead and jump straight into the player breakdown and figure out who we love on this 5-game early slate. Who do you love? All right, let's start at the top of the slate here. We are going to, you know, the early slate, it's interesting. You don't have a lot of players who are wildly expensive, with the exception of John Wall and Giannis and JoJo. So you have a lot of options here above of ways to build really, really appealing lineups with multiple studs. So let's start with John Wall here versus Milwaukee. Of course, we know that Milwaukee is a relatively slow team, and as a result, I think that John Wall takes on a little bit less appeal. I like him in pace-up games. I like him with a lot of possessions, a lot of opportunities for scoring. You're seeing these 55, you know, and 48-point opportunities here against Brooklyn and Orlando where he put up over 20 attempts. You really like the recent attempts. His usage rates have been pretty through the roof of late, over 30 in all 4 of the last 5 games, averaging a 32% usage rate in the last 5. He's averaging 25 points in that span on 39 minutes. Of course, we know Scottie Brooks will play you Thibodeau-type minutes as the season gets going here. So definitely an interesting spot to go to Wall against Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee against point guards, they have not really been a plus-minus, a plus matchup. Minus 1.2 ranking, you know, within the top half of the league and that's primarily, I believe, due to the pace of the possessions that they run. They're so, so slow. They're not going to allow you to run the fast break. They're not going to allow you to have extra possessions. So John Wall in this situation, I think you could definitely get into him because it's going to be a game where they need him. But again, I don't think you have to play John Wall here as the most expensive or interesting point guard. He had definitely struggled with this team in November. They played and he had only 23 fantasy points and he was healthy. I mean, he had played 31 minutes in that game and then the next game went out and blew up Charlotte for 53. So it was a forcing function, I think, of defense and pace and the fact that they're not going to allow him any rebounds and fast breaks. So not my favorite matchup for John Wall in this situation. So you move over to the shooting guard, and you got DeMar DeRozan at a very, very reasonable price tag against Philadelphia, especially considering he just put up 40 against Golden State. Price just hasn't reacted to that. He's at 9,200, which, you know what, for DeMar this season has not been an unbelievably bad price. We've seen him return value on that. Last year, you would have really thought twice about DeMar at 9,200. This year, 9,200 actually is a pretty reasonable price. I mean, 2 of the last 5 games, he's gone for over 50. The scoring has just been unbelievable, as has the usage. You know, he has taken nearly 30 attempts. Well, he's taken 29, 30, and 31 attempts in 3 of the last 5 games since Kyle Lowry went down in that Brooklyn game. Unbelievable performances in those three of them, and all three of those games, he's gone for over 25 points. He went for 42 against Golden State. You know, he's so scoring dependent, but the reason that you really, really love him is because he can score that much. He wants to score that much. The usage rate is through the roof right now, 32% usage rate, averaging 1.19 fantasy points per minute in this recent span. So I really like this situation for him against a Philadelphia team that has struggled with wings all year long. We have been targeting Philadelphia with guards for a good amount of the year because they have struggled with both the point guard and the shooting guard. Shooting guard being the one weakness. They are in the bottom five in the league against the shooting guard, plus over 2.1 average fantasy points to that position that they have allowed. So definitely interested in DeMar DeRozan, especially with no Kyle Lowry. He should be pretty popular, pretty chalky, but I have no issues with trying to get him into my lineups. Now, moving on to the mystery man, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if he's just worn down. I don't know if he's finding a new role. I'm not really what to do. But you know, the last five games have kind of presented a very different Giannis, especially the last three. And I have to say, I was a little bit miffed at how poorly he played in the Magic game. Yes, they won. And yes, he scored 26 points. But, you know, 26 with 7 rebounds. No steals, 1 block, 1 assist, and 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He's been very pedestrian lately. He really has. Now, his most recent game against Washington, he blew up 64 fantasy points, and that makes good sense. They have struggled with the 3 guard. Giannis knows this team. Washington likes to run, and so you have a situation that's ideal for Washington or for Giannis. But I wouldn't be lying if I feel a little bit fishy about his recent performance and you don't really know what is going on with his role on this team. And I think that a lot of people will feel that way. If you have confidence that he can get back to it, go for it. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But I also have no problem with if you want to pivot over to Kawhi. The Claw, just unbelievably efficient, unbelievable how capable he has been in only 28 minutes. And let's be very clear about this. This man has not played more than 30 minutes this season. He is averaging 39 fantasy points per game in the last five when he has come back healthy. So I just can't really wrap my head around how good this man is. It just doesn't make sense. And I'm not kidding when I say he's averaged 1.4 fantasy points per minute in the last three games. Listen to this. Against the Knicks, he averaged 1.6 fantasy points per minute, the Suns 1.7, and the Nuggets 1.6. I don't know what to say. 33% usage rate in that span, putting up anywhere between 10 and 20 attempts. But of course, the steals and the blocks are always there. In that Suns game, he had 4 steals and 3 blocks. Like, I just don't understand how valuable this guy is. Like, he is one of the most mind-blowingly talented players in the league. He's getting a phenomenal matchup with Atlanta, who just absolutely terrible versus threes. Literally the worst in the league. They're terrible defense in general. I mean, we know that, guys. They're ranked 26 in overall defensive efficiency on the year. And they're, you know, allow above-average fantasy scoring to every single position across the board. But they allow the most scoring in the league to the small forward. So Kawhi Leonard, definitely a guy that I am interested in. It feels a little bit too obvious. It feels a little bit too chalky. But given how well he has played and how efficient he has been, I actually really don't have a problem going to him in this situation and maybe saying, you know, foregoing a Giannis or foregoing some of the other 10K players to try and fit him in. Power forward, I actually really like his teammate as well. LaMarcus. I love Kristaps. I love the idea of Kristaps versus Brooklyn. I don't like Kristaps on the back-to-back playing multiple extra minutes in overtime against Boogie and the Brow. Like, this is a letdown spot. And I think This is a great spot for LaMarcus. He has struggled in the last two games, but I think some of the offensive pressure has been relieved from him, some of the defensive pressure as well. But I just don't think that there's any reason not to consider this guy who has been so, so phenomenally good at just, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity that was given to him earlier in the season. And you see the usage drop, right? In the last two games against the Lakers and the Nuggets, there was a usage dip, okay? He didn't take nearly as many attempts. His usage rate, his overall usage rate was still there, okay? 28% and 27% usage rate there. But below a fantasy point per minute, which was rare for him because he was well above a fantasy point per minute and still is on the season at 1.15. But in all those performances that we really were impressed with, he was well over a fantasy point per minute, 1.2, 1.5, 1.3 in those three previous games versus the 76ers, the Blazers, and the Kings. So those guys, those types of performances are the ones that you're leaning on here and you're saying, okay, I think he's got that in him. We know, I just talked about Atlanta's struggles across the board. They've really struggled with the front court too. The addition of Dwayne Dedmon surely helps. But LaMarcus is a player we know that can take advantage of any kind of a plus matchup with a poor defense, and this is certainly a poor defense. I'm interested in getting to him here in this situation, team that allows some of the most scoring in the front court and in the paint in the NBA. So definitely a spot that I want to attack. In fact, Atlanta, where are you, Atlanta, as far as in the paint scoring? Okay, 12th overall in the paint. That's not actually that bad. It's not as bad as I thought, but 28th overall to front court scoring. So, yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to happen in the paint, I guess. They allow a lot of scoring to front court players. So, there it is. LaMarcus Aldridge is definitely a guy that I could find in some of my rosters. Moving on to the center position, this actually may be a nice spot to go to Joel Embiid. And I have no issue with going to JoJo here. We haven't seen him really dominate recently. The Spurs game was probably the closest thing where he double-doubled. Super efficient, 20 points on only 12 attempts. But he got to the line 11 times and had 11 free throws. It was really, really impressive stuff. I just could see him having a nice game. He struggled in 23 minutes against the Raptors earlier this season, but that was because the Raptors kind of put a hurt on them. Full strength team, full strength. They put a little bit of a hurt on him, and he was still struggling with that back injury. That was after that back injury, that back spasms that kept him out for a couple weeks in the middle of December. So it was his first game back. He only played 23 minutes. But during that game, he had 1.3 fantasy points per minute, which is kind of the average for what he's done in the last five games, over a span over which he's averaged 42 fantasy points. Now, on the year, we expect him to average 1.4 fantasy points per minute with, you know, an average of 45 fantasy points across 30 minutes. Now, if he gets those 30 minutes, which he did against Boston, you could see him get 30. I mean, he hasn't played since that Boston game. You could definitely see a path to a 50-pointer from JoJo here. So he may be my guy at center because the rest of the center is a little bit thin. I could definitely go to Joel Embiid and just feel comfortable going with one of the most talented, you know, players at the position on the slate. You know, I mean, I guess you could talk yourself into Hassan Whiteside. He seems to have gotten his job back, and he's a little bit underpriced. Back-to-back, I don't trust him. I mean, raise your hand if you trust Hassan Whiteside. No one should have their hands raised right now, okay? If you do, then you're Eric Spoelstra and you're lying to the media. That's what you're doing right there if you're raising your hand. So don't raise your hand because no one trusts him. All right, let's move on to the middle tier here because there's a lot of other players that we have to figure out who we're going to put in our rosters. So at first glance, you know, your thought may be, oh man, I don't really love any of these point guards. And then you dive deeper, and some of these guys are really, really appealing. So I'm going to talk about three or four of them here, guys. And it all starts for me with Eric Bledsoe. This is the kind of matchup that sets up really, really well for Eric Bledsoe. A pace-up situation. We just saw him put up 40 against this Washington team across 33 minutes and only 11 shots. Why? Because the back and forth, the speed of it is going to allow him to get to the rim. High-frequency scorer at the rim. We don't necessarily want to see him forced into shooting from the exterior where he's just not that comfortable and he's not that effective. And, you know, in only 22% usage, he had his highest scoring game of the last five, which is tells you exactly that he's capable of playing the way that he wants. He had three steals and that's get that game, four rebounds, four assists. Now, he's not going to offer you a ton in the way of peripherals, except for the steals, where he is an above average guy at 2.1 steals on the year. But he is going to offer you 30 minutes. He's going to offer you upside to 40 points. And I think that that's very interesting to me at a price tag that's relatively easy to swallow at $7,500. You're asking him to get you over 35. I think he's a solid cash game play if you can fit him in. Of course, Goran Dragic has been on fire recently. Some really, really big games. 49 in Toronto, where he scored basically, every bucket that mattered. And played phenomenally well across almost 40 minutes. Now, Spoelstra took his minutes way back down because, remember, this guy can't necessarily handle all those minutes. He's been in the league for almost 10 years, so not exactly ideal to give him that much run. And struggled a little bit in Indiana and played in Milwaukee today in a game that they won very, very handily. Played 32 minutes. So I think you're going to see him come back out here against Chicago, continue to play well. The attempts have been up. I mean, no Deion Waiters makes this team. I hate to say this. It makes this team better. It really does. You have, because you're replacing him with guys who play defense and guys who are efficient and guys who keep the ball moving. And Dragic is capable of just having more possessions and more touches where he's able to distribute and actually move the offense. I mean, you look at the recent stretch here. Everything is up for him. Minutes are up to an average of 36 minutes per game in the last five. Attempts are up to 18 attempts. Rebounds for him are up. Assists are up for him. Usage is up just by 2%. So he's playing more efficiently. He's playing better without Waiters in the lineup. I think that Goran Dragic is a very easy cash game play. Even on the back-to-back, I'm not necessarily too concerned, but it does give me a little bit more interest in Tyler Johnson. The young fella probably is going to pick up another 30 minutes again, and he's just been basically a fantasy point per minute type guy. And we know that a lot of his upside can come through peripherals. He's not a phenomenal scorer. He's not going to score too much, but he can get it done through the peripherals, so I don't mind him against a bad backcourt team backing you up. The last three guys that I want to talk about. I want to talk about Spencer Dinwiddie because it's interesting. New York initially, early in the year, was a team that we were attacking at the point guard position, and they've actually risen to about league neutral at the point guard position. Not exactly the best matchup for point guards, but they are on the back-to-back here, and Dinwiddie has shown us. He's really shown us something in the last couple games. Now, I know he struggled in that Washington game, and I saw all the Twitters. I saw all the Twitters all alight with how Dinwiddie didn't score, for basically the whole first quarter, which was a disaster. But came back out after that and put up 30 points and was hyper effective in the later minutes of that game. So you have to respect what he's been capable of doing in the time that he's been here. 33 minutes over the last five, 33 fantasy points. Nearly exactly one fantasy point per minute, scoring 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists in that span, with one steal and a half a block. So I think you got to like the guy. We've seen him be a little bit flaky. I realize that he's not my favorite cash gameplay. I know a lot of people have played him in cash, but the volatility is most definitely there. I mean, you before this in December, we had a range of outcomes, even in the 30-minute span, we had a range of outcomes anywhere between 13 fantasy points and 48 fantasy points, right? I mean, that was what he was showing us. And most recently, it's got even gotten worse. I mean, it's 9 fantasy points up to 54 fantasy points. So it's really hard to project what version of Dinwiddie you're going to get. But against the Knicks, I think that this is a good spot. He went for 48 against them earlier this year in 35 minutes on 17 attempts. So he certainly should be on your roster, on your radars at a relatively easy price point at 6,400. That's it at the shooting or point guard position. Let's move over to shooting guard, where it's a little bit more thin. You could certainly talk yourself into Bradley Beal. You could certainly talk yourself into Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton at this price is kind of really easy to find yourself on. On this slate where you're not really stretched for dollars, Middleton is going to make a lot of cash game lineups, especially considering, you know, he puts up almost a fantasy point per minute. We know that it really is kind of just dependent on his shot. And if he gets his shot going, he can be good for 40 points. And at 6,600 on FanDuel, you're kind of getting a nice bargain for him. I have to be honest with you, a quiet bargain for Chris Middleton. You know, on the season, he is a 0.9 fantasy points per minute type guy over 37 minutes and 35 plus minutes of playing time in the last 5. He's averaged more than that on the year. I think you could see him go for 40 minutes here. And if you're going to get 0.9 fantasy points or 40 minutes, you could see a path to 5X for Chris Middleton. So no issues with Chris Middleton in this situation. Malcolm Brogdon, though, is a guy that I just don't think he's priced properly, given his role and the increase in minutes that he's seeing. So he's another guy you could just go down to him and say, you can get me 32, right, Malcolm? 5X for him. Not very hard to do. You're only asking the man for 27 fantasy points, which is exactly where he's priced on his average. That's it. I mean, and this is the hard part, is everybody's going to have DeMar. You could do JJ. You could definitely do JJ Redick. In fact, I have no issue with JJ Redick at 5,500 either. No problem with him at all. No problem with J.J. Redick at all against Toronto. Toronto, we know, has struggled with the two guard and without Kyle Lowry there to back them up. I think there's definitely something to like. That's a lot. That's kind of a serious price point to pay for JJ. I like him a little bit cheaper than that. And actually, Toronto has been a little bit better against the shooting guard than they were earlier in the year. But I don't know. All right, moving on to the small forward. Of course, small forward has been a dumpster fire all year long. It's not going to change. I'm interested in Michael Beasley and Josh Richardson. Boom. Just stop. Full stop. Maybe Damari Carroll, too. Full stop. That's it. Those are the three that I think you could talk me into. Robert Covington just has not been able to shoot. Otto Porter is overpriced for his offensive role. And I want one of these Giannis or Kawhi. So I'm gonna say Michael Beasley, one of the better tournament plays tomorrow on this slate. He only played 9 minutes against New Orleans. I think if there's any injury news about Tim Hardaway, roster Michael Beasley with full confidence against Brooklyn. Full confidence against Brooklyn. Definitely a spot that you're going to want to take advantage of. Josh Richardson, just very, very consistent. Falls into the Malcolm Brogdon bucket for me. Nearly 40 minutes per game. Always going to get you above 20 fantasy points. Has not had a performance below 20 fantasy points since the 13th of December. So definitely a guy that I'm interested in this new look. Offense for the Miami Heat, and frankly, Chicago, they're terrible against all the backcourt players. And you know, small forward, that's the three, fine. Heat blew up against them, and Chicago above average performance, allowing above average production to the small forward. Denzel Valentine has never scared me. So that is absolutely somewhere that I'm gonna go. At small forward, and I think it's just kind of whoever fits, unless some sort of value opens up. Damari Carroll is interesting, and I'll talk about him in the value section. At the power forward position, the price on Ben Simmons is appealing. I will say that. if you want to put Ben Simmons in your lineup, I'm not going to fault you for that. I'm not going to fault you for that at all. The price on Nikola Mirotic is appealing. But I think for my money, I think I'm most interested in Serge Ibaka versus Philly. Now, Dario Saric is not a terrible defender, but I think that Serge has proven that he has the ability to, you know, the last two games aside, obviously you're going to struggle against Draymond, and you're going to, you know, he didn't play that Cleveland game, got ejected from Miami. But that Miami game was an indication, I think, of really what we were seeing from Serge. And only 23 minutes, I mean, you know, he was, or 21 minutes, excuse me, he had 21 minutes, and then he had 23 fantasy points. He had already put up 10 attempts. So the usage is there. I mean, he's been at almost 24% usage, and especially without Kyle Lowry there, you know, the recent performances have only basically helped us get a, you know, reduced price on him. So I'm interested. I'm interested. Averaging 30 fantasy points in the last five, you know, and you're getting a little bit of a discount. You're getting a little bit of a discount for him. The blocks have been there, man. I mean, he has averaged 2.2 blocks in the last five games, 1.6 on the season. So you're getting vintage Serge, the threes and the blocks. I'm interested in Serge. I think he's just a nice point per dollar type guy that you can plug in and feel comfortable playing. Kelly Olynyk's price drop freaks me out. If something happens in this front court, you have got to jump on Kelly Olynyk. $4,700 for this guy who was 7K a week ago is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And I have no problem if you're like, that's just not, we got to get on that. So we'll keep our eye on that. At the center position, I mentioned Hassan Whiteside. I don't trust him, but I don't mind if you do. I think the only other guy that I'm interested in is Enes Kanter in this price range. And I think you could definitely go to Kanter. He played really well against New Orleans. He played 36 minutes, and that's a lot. That's a ton. And you could definitely see his minutes come down on the back-to-back. That's a little bit of a concern for me, but he's a fantasy point per minute type guy, a little bit more. And against Brooklyn, I think that's interesting. All right, let's go ahead down to the bargain basement. I'll give you a couple quick names here on this five-game slate that you may want to look at. Bargain basement number one, at point guard, you got to talk about Jarrett Jack, man. This guy's been unbelievable. Like, what is happening with Jarrett Jack? 20 points, 8-10, he hit a triple-double against Chicago. Like, what is going on? Like, you give him the minutes, and all of a sudden this guy starts performing. So Jarrett Jack, very interesting. Of course, Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright should be interesting to you as well. TJ McConnell's one guy that you may want to pivot to just kind of be different. And Malcolm Delaney has picked up some new minutes with the injury to Marco Bellinelli. Him and DeAndre Bembry have been playing a little bit more. So, take it for what it's worth. At the shooting guard position, I mentioned Malcolm Brogdon and J.J. Redick at 5,500. Wayne Ellington is the only other guy that I'm that interested in. I got to be honest with you. Wayne Ellington at 51, he's been playing 30 minutes a game. I think you could get into him. At the small forward position, Damari Carroll, if he's going to play 30 minutes against the Knicks, I could see 30 points from him, as well as Allen Crabbe. Those two guys are getting 30 minutes in this offense. Kelly Oubre has been about a fantasy point per minute. So this pricing is really soft, man. Some of this pricing is really soft. You could fit in a lot of studs if you wanted to do that. At power forward, I talked a little bit about Kelly Olynyk already. Markieff Morris is the other guy that has been getting kind of jerked around with the minute situation, but I could see you definitely getting a good point per dollar return on 4,600 for him. So he's a guy that I may be interested in. And Marcin Gortat is the only center, I guess Jonas Valanciunas, but, you know, the truth is that he's not going to get it done against Joel Embiid. I got to be honest with you. He's not. So I just can't go there. As productive he has been without Lowry on the floor, I'm not interested against Joel Embiid defense. All right, let's flip over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. So I'm going to go ahead and start with what I was just talking about at the center position. You know, if I'm not going to Gortat, which I like Gortat. I'm going to go to Embiid. So let's try this with Gortat real quick. I'm going to go with Gortat at the center position. Point guard is relatively easy. I'm probably going to pay down for two of these kind of mid-range guys. Let's say Van Vliet and Jarrett Jack, or Van Vliet and Tyler Johnson. Let's call it Jarrett Jack. And then at the small forward position, if Tim Hardaway is out, Michael Beasley is a borderline must play. But let's see if I can do this Kawhi Giannis thing together. I think that is very, very interesting. And then at shooting guard, I'm going to try to force DeMar in because I think that there's plenty of value on this slate. And then I have $4,800 for a shooting guard and two power forwards. So let's go down to power forward and let's see what we have as far as relatively inexpensive guys I like in this price range. I think, Markieff is interesting. I think he's good in. Let's get him in there. Davis Bertans is another guy that I'm looking at. Quincy Acey has been playing a lot. I guess he's been playing because Zeller's been out 25 minutes for him. New York's a very good rebounding team, so they're going to probably limit his upside. I don't really see a lot of interest in him. Pascal Siakam continues to get good run behind Serge, basically. I think it's really okay. Wait, let's say if we get Wayne Ellington in there, then I have $4,800 left at power forward. At $4,800, I can do Kelly Olynyk. I could do, I could even do something cheaper. I could go down to Davis Bertans, and then I have $6,200 at power forward here, and that is an interesting price point as well. So, I can fool around with it, but. And I could even go, if I go down to Malcolm Brogdon, then I can upgrade one of these point guards, upgrade my point guard split, to maybe not Dragic, but I could do a Dinwiddie and you could do Dinwiddie and DeLon Wright, for example. Or, I wanted to go Tyler Johnson, Jarrett Jack. You can't get that. But, there's a lot of different ways to go with it, but at the core of what I got here, I've got DeMar DeRozan, Malcolm Brogdon, which is that it's just that $5,500 price point for shooting guard. I think you could go down to, I would feel comfortable going down to Wayne Ellington too. I think he's in a good spot, just for the minutes and the price matchup for me. I think I'm okay with that, and the matchup, frankly. And Danny Green is in a good spot too at $4,400. I mean, he has. You just don't know if he's going to get playing time. DeMar DeRozan, Malcolm Brogdon, somewhere in that 5K price range there. Kawhi Leonard, Giannis is very interesting. I think that's a unique look. Now, of course, if that changes because of Michael Beasley playing over Tim Hardaway, then I'm interested in that. And spending down a power forward to Davis Bertans, maybe Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat. Could you go with three 9K players on this slate? Yeah, you could. I mean, you could get Kawhi, you could get DeMar DeRozan, and you could get LaMarcus Aldridge all in your lineup and feel pretty good about it. So there's a lot of different ways to build. I'll bring you guys a main slate breakdown as well. Of course, patreon.com/lineuplogic. We will have a main slate cheat sheet for you guys, and fantasy5by5.com has all of the tools that you need for that slate. Enjoy your Martin Luther King Day if you're off work. If you're not off work, sorry guys. This is good. Thanks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.